Like I said, welcome to Connection. We're glad you're here. Hey, if you were here last week, you were with us as we kicked off our first series of the semester, and it's called Stories. We want to tell not only our stories so that you get to know us as family, but also we want to tell the story of Jesus and what Jesus is doing in the lives of everyday people here on campus. So tonight, the story that we prepared for you is one of our own students, and it's probably a story that you've never heard before. You'll hear the story about her life, what it was like growing up for her, and the different, I'll just say, experiences that she had. But I hope as you watch and hear her story, you'll really hear the story of Jesus. And you'll understand what he did in her life to save her life, to preserve her life, to give her an opportunity for a better life. His goodness and his faithfulness, just like we were singing about, are very evident in this particular story. And then at the end of the video, she's going to come up and just share a little bit more with us personally about what God has been up to in her life most recently. So it might be hard to see, might be hard to hear. It's about a 7-minute video, so like everybody like ready to pay attention. I know you do this in class, right? You're like, you've been in class for like a week and a half now, so you're like really good at this, right? Yeah, Dimitri's moving closer. If you need to, there are some open seats up here, okay? There's a couple over here. You could get a front row seat for the video. Anybody want this front row seat? Juana? You and Kamsi want to come up here? You guys want to come sit in the front? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that'll work. Tamar's coming closer. She's like, yeah, I want to see this. I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it to get a front row seat. Okay, how are we doing in the back? We ready? Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Okay, buckle up and let's hear Saran's story.
Hi, my name is Sara Nawalo. I was born in 1995 in a country called Eritrea, which is in east of Africa. When I was born, I was a month late, which it resulted in a lot of health issues, including I wasn't able to breathe on my own for 5 days straight, which was scary for my mom to see, and the doctors didn't think I was going to be able to live past those 5 days. But God apparently had another plan, so after 5 days, I was able to breathe on my own, and I went out the hospital healthy, and then life just basically went on. Soon after that, my sister was born, and then a few years after that, my brother was born. And we just had, you know, basically a perfect family that you would think of. When I was 5 or 6 years old, the economy went really low, which resulted in people like my dad who had college degrees not to get paid the wage that they deserved. Including they weren't able to get a second job because it was illegal for them to do so. So it was very hard for them to raise us with such little money that they were getting. So one of the business trips that my dad had, he decided to escape from that business trip and go to other countries to work there. And I didn't see him for another 6 years after that, which we didn't know. I didn't know, or my sister didn't know either, that he wasn't going to come back. So it was a lot of traumatizing, kind of weird to just have him disappear of our life. But life just basically went on. When I was in fifth grade, my mom decided we were going to leave the country, which resulted in my sister and I being separated from her and had to cross the border right after she crossed the border. So we were separated for a few months. And once we reunited in Sudan, it was very a joyous day. We all just cried and hugged each other. But soon after that, I got caught on malaria. So that was like for a week and a half or so, which was very devastating for my mom to see, just basically me laying on bed. I could barely get up of my bed. After a little while, there was a friend of the family that prayed over me, and a day or two later, I regained my health and my conscience. I was just as healthy as I can be. So that was like a second miracle that already happened in my life. After that, we went through Dubai and Zimbabwe, and then we landed on South Africa, which was happy and sad moments. It was a happy moment because I got to see my uncles and my aunts and my grandparents that were there. But it was sad because we kind of figured that out, that we weren't going to come back. It wasn't really a trip that we went because we didn't have school to go to. So it was very hard to do, be okay with that, to go on through just day-to-day life, waking up every day to only realize that you're not in your country anymore. That was it was hard to get used to. It was hard to be okay with that. It certainly nothing we could have done that would have helped us be okay with that. Right after that, a few months later, we started school, which was great because that helped us be distracted of our life or the fact that we're not in our country anymore. It was amazing. I loved school. It was just a new experience, a new environment, but just the people were very similar to my country. I loved it, basically. A year and a half later, my mom was living with us, of course, in an apartment. We were just going through our lives, and my dad came back. So it was a very shocking reuniting. We knew he was coming. It's just that we haven't seen him in 6 years. So it was kind of an awkward moment to be okay, and that this guy we call father is in our house, basically, because we didn't really, he was a stranger to us. We were strangers, kind of, to him, too, as well. So that was another shocking moment to go through and to just kind of pass through that awkward moment. After that, we decided we were going to go to America. By then, my mom was 6 months pregnant, which we were super excited. Soon after we landed in America, we got our own apartment. My dad got a job, and we moved in to an apartment. And just it was during the summer, so we didn't go to school. And after that, when we started school, my mom had her daughter, my sister, and just it was a happy moment. But that's when the bullying started, with my accent being different than American accent. I spoke the British English. I didn't speak English. The spelling was different. The way you pronounced it was different. You know, basically, I was calling knife a knife because clearly I was reading it the way it's spelled. but yeah, so that was very difficult. Got to a point where I just did not want to talk to anybody in class or to volunteer in class. So it was a hard first year to be okay with just being here. But life, of course, went on. Ninth grade came, and I had a best friend who grew up in the same kind of culture as I did. We were two different countries, but their parents are very strict the same way. They talk like the same way. So we had a lot of similarities. She was like my first best friend ever since I left my country. She was like the real true friend I had ever since I was in fifth grade, basically. So it meant a lot to me. So it really was a huge transition from eighth grade to ninth grade, having her, and she helped me through basically high school together. And then after senior year, I decided to go to Rice State University, which I love, and I think that was like the best decision I made just for my life. One thing I would say to take away from my story is not so much of me moving around from one place to another place or the different cultures or anything like that. It's just God did so many things in my life, even though I barely knew him. And God can do so many things in your life that you don't even know yet. And all those hard things that you may be going through right now is just a moment in God's time to the great things he will do in your life in the future.
Come on up, Saran. You guys, welcome, Saran. That was very brave of you. Here, let me get this for you. Here you go. How are you feeling right now?
I don't know. I don't like my voice.
I feel the same way. I'll listen to this recording later and I'll just go like this the whole time. So it's just because the way it sounds echoing in your head sounds a whole lot different than it does when you hear it not echoing in your head, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, so Saran has been a part of our community for 3 years now?
Yeah, it's my fourth year.
This is your fourth year. Wow. And so I want everybody to really grasp the details that you were sharing. So I'm just going to recap slightly in your words, if that's okay. But Saran was sharing about how that she's from Eritrea. Can you say it properly?
Eritrea.
And Eritrea only became a country in 1993. If you caught it, Saran was born in 1995. And so the country had only gained its independence from Ethiopia 2 years before she was born. And the country was just really trying to establish its sovereignty and maintain its sovereignty. And so there were rules in place that limited families from being able to get a second job. And when the economy dropped, her family was having to live off a very small income. And so their parents had to make a decision on how they were going to deal with that. And so you and your sister were not aware when this happened, but when your dad left for what you thought was a 2-week business trip, he actually was fleeing the country. And he broke away from the business trip and went to Europe to get another job so that he could send money home for the family, correct? Yeah, and that was kind of like the catalyst for the 6 different countries, the different adventures, all of the changes that happened in your life. You mentioned while you were in South Africa that it was happy because you were reunited with family, but it was sad because you were coming to grips with the fact that you would never be back in your country.
We left, my sister and I left illegally.
Right.
My mom and my brother then, well, it's my brother now, but...
Still your brother, yeah.
They left legally, and my sister and I were old enough to be separated from my mom, so they didn't care whether we were with her or not. So they said it was illegal for us to leave because we were old enough to be separated from her.
And tell us how old you were.
I was 10, my sister was 9.
Okay, do you guys catch that? The Eritrean government said that at 9 and 10 years old, that Saran and her sister were old enough to not be with their parents. And so they would not let her mom cross the border with them. And so her mom crossed the border with their 5-year-old brother, but Saran and her sister were left behind.
Yeah, so my mom had an uncle that she kind of coordinated with him for him to bring us to like Sudan, while she already crossed the whole border for us. So we're just, you know, with our great-uncle.
Great-uncle, yeah. So if you don't mind sharing just a little bit, how did you feel during that couple-month period?
I wouldn't say, like, I was dumb enough not to understand what was going on. It was just not clear. Basically, like, we knew we were going to a different country, but we didn't know why. It was during, like, a summer or, like, I guess a winter vacation. From school, so we didn't have anything to do anyways. And we always, like, went to, like, the villages and, like, saw that to visit distant families. So, like, it was not a weird thing for us. But we kind of understood, like, we were leaving, but it was just never really, like... She never, like, sat down with us and said, like, okay, we're leaving the country, we're not coming back, we're going to do this. Because, I mean, like, we're 10 years old, so it was kind of like a good, bad thing, I guess. So.
Yeah. God's hand just was over all of this because so many things could have gone wrong, so many other things could have happened. And you guys were able to safely, for the most part, I mean, cross over in what could have been... dangerous, it could have been hard, but you were able to get out of your country and be reunited with your mom in Sudan.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I've known Saran for several years now, the whole time we've been in Chi Alpha, within at Wright State, and it was just over the summer that I really got introduced to the fullness of your story. And it's a very personal part of your life, but just as our relationship progressed, we were to a point where you shared that with me, and I was struck with the hand of God in your life, the hand of God over your birth, You guys catch that? She was born a whole month late. I mean, that would just never happen in the United States. They would induce labor. They would, you know, help that pregnancy come along. And when you were born, you had some health complications. You were 5 days on a breathing machine because you couldn't breathe on your own. And the nurse said, you're not going to make it. And God's hand on your life, he preserved your life. You did make it, obviously, right? Thank you, Jesus. And his protection as you left Eritrea and went into Sudan, like, my mind was just blown. I was so encouraged and so built up by God's kindness, his love, and his faithfulness that I thought, wow, this is a story that everybody needs to hear so that we can see on a bigger scale the faithfulness of God. This story might never be yours. I can't think of many who live in the United States that will have this story. But it is a beautiful story, one of just encouragement. And if you caught it, when Saran got to Sudan, you caught malaria. Malaria kills people, Saran.
Yeah, I know.
It's a miserable thing.
Yeah, I remember.
Describe to us, because you were telling me about what you were like when you had malaria.
Yeah, it was, okay, I distinctly remember, I was like passing out kind of, but it was, so I was 10 still then, so I caught it. It wasn't, like, we didn't understand what was going on. Then, like, we got to the hospital, and then they told us that we had malaria, duh. So the past week was very difficult for my mom to see because we just got reunited with each other. Mm-hmm. And now I'm sick, and she would, like, carry me to the bathroom to, like, you know, give me a shower or sponge bath or whatever you guys call it. And she would just carry me, and my hand would just be flying, like,
yeah, you'd be
over.
Lifeless. Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was just, it was so, like, I was very close to, moments to death. So it was,
and it was a spirit-filled friend of the family that came and laid hands on you and prayed for God to heal you. And within like a day and a half, you were fully restored, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. There wasn't time in the video, but I think you also mentioned to me that once you came, at some point in your story, you were diagnosed with epilepsy, right?
Yeah.
You were having seizures. And it was only like a year of that, right? Or something like that. And you haven't had any more seizures since then, right?
Yeah. I've never been diagnosed with epilepsy. I guess you have to be like in a certain stage or anything like that to be diagnosed with that. I called myself, I'm epileptic because I didn't even understand what the meaning was.
But you were having seizures.
Yes, I was having seizures. Then when, with the medicine that I was taking, like, it gave me a really bad, it was just horrible, so we changed to a different one, and even with then, like, if I, like, there was a day or 2 days where I missed it, there was, like, a high chance I would have seizures, so.
Wow. And do you take that medicine now?
No, I don't.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
So it's been 2 years.
So at the end of the video, you said that coming to Wright State was one of the best decisions for your life. And I think there have been some things that have happened in the last few years that have been the hand of God.
Yes.
And so will you tell everybody who Jacqueline is?
Okay. Jacqueline is like my best of my best friends. We haven't like announced it to each other, you know, yet. But I chose Wright State because it was here, it was close, it wasn't really, I wouldn't call it, like, I made that best choice when I made the decision. It was later on when I realized it was the right decision. I could have gone to any school that I wanted to, given the chance of financial aid, because, yeah, they suck. But but when I chose Wright State, I came here. I was fine. It was exciting. I, you know, like, for the first time, I was alone. And I didn't have to be, like, with my parents all the time.
Anybody relate?
So it was, like, a good getaway, okay? So I was invited by a friend's friend to first Sunday, if you guys were there.
Anybody at the first Sunday church service? Yeah.
So it was awesome because I was just not really close with God then. But I wasn't, like, against it because I was baptized and I was somewhat serving him. So I went to First Sunday, and then I met a lot of people with Joanna, who you some of you might know is Jacqueline's sister. And then after I met Joanna, I met her sister as well, which her sister is really close to mine. Like, I think she's like worse than me in hyperness and just like hugging and everybody. So if you see me like super energetic, like I get it from her. So at that time, I didn't feel like it. Like, I was having like some personal issues, so I was really just depressed with just like a lot of stuff.
But Jacqueline pursued you, right?
Yeah, she was persistent. Okay, I'm telling you, I can't be as persistent as her. And it wasn't so much of to just, you know, have that one girl that you survive, that you keep her like as a championship or a goal, that you rescued her from depression, and that she pursued me because she loved me.
That's right.
From day on, and she would right. say like, "I love you." I'm like, "Dude, I don't know you." So
that's how the family God works, right?
Yes. So she definitely loved me, and she showed me so.
And she became your first core group leader, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And you told me this week that you wanted to be a core group leader so that you could be Jacqueline for other girls.
Yes. I don't see that, you know, I want to pursue every girl who may have gone through what I went through, or depression or anything like that. But she was there for me through a lot of hard times. I was not easy. I was very difficult with her and didn't feel like doing anything. It got to a point where, like, I was just, like, staying in my room for, like, a whole month, which if you guys miss mm-hmm. one day of class, you know it was, like, a week of classes. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, she very pursued me and just showed me her love and compassion, and she showed me God's love. I was very close to just not being close to God, like, leaving God.
Right.
And she showed me that is the other way around. So, so I do want to, she's not the only reason I want to be a core group, or I am a core group leader, but she's basically part of most of the reasons why I just want to reach out to girls who may or may not be having difficult issues or life or anything like that. I just want, basically, I just want to share my love to other girls, be there for them through hard times, through great times. It doesn't always have to be bad times.
Amen. In Chi Alpha, we have this truism. That's what God does to you, he wants to do through you. And that is true for your life, Saron. What God did to your life through the love and the friendship of Jacqueline, now he is doing through you as a core group leader to love and befriend girls and to bring them in and establish them into the family of God, which I love. I just think that's such a beautiful picture. One of the other big things in your time in college that you mentioned was fall breakaway. And you said fall breakaway was a turning point in your walk with the Lord, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So can you briefly tell us what happened at fall breakaway?
This
is your first fall breakaway, right?
Yes, that was my first fall breakaway. I didn't feel like going. It was the weekends before my baby sister's birthday, so why would I leave? So I still went anyways. It was a point where I was hating myself a lot, and I didn't feel like God's love. Even if like I admit God loves me, why should I love myself? So it was a very huge turning point, because that day, that night, that fall breakaway weekend showed me, like, it just showed me God's love for me, and how forgiving he is for life, for your, you know, all the mistakes you've done in your life. And he showed me that I can love myself too. So it was a very huge turning point for me, because it was really between life and death. If you've ever had like friends who have had like depressions or suicidal, like it is between life and death. So it was definitely a huge turning point for me.
Amen. That is so encouraging. Fall breakaway was a matter, what God did in your life at fall breakaway was a matter of life and death.
Yes. Definitely.
Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. When I asked you what you wanted people to take away from your story, you told me that you wanted people to understand that even when you didn't know God well, when you look back over your life, you saw his hand, you saw his protection, you saw him moving in your life. And so you wanted other people to know that even if they're not close to God yet, that God is still active in their lives.
Yes.
Is there anything you would add to that?
Sometimes it is hard for us to even see like what God has done in our lives. Definitely over just hearing stories from like the background of my life throughout the life that has happened that my mom would tell me now or like a few years ago, because I'm old enough to understand now, like there's so many things that could have happened. There's a lot of things. Like my birth was a miracle.
Amen.
For instance, even though I have had like I had brain injuries, I have a neck issue, I had a 6-finger at one time, which I still love it. I don't have any more. It's okay. and when we were escaping to Sudan, the great uncle almost took us through a camel, which is like a 3-4 days journey with some strange people that we don't even know. That could have been us. That could have
with
been
no
those
food people. And no water.
Yes,
right
they,
across the
why
desert
would they
for
care?
4 days.
Yeah, so there were so many things. Even when the person that took us was a man who was really sweet, with him, like, who knows what could have happened? There's so many things. Just because you're in Africa doesn't mean there's no such thing as rape or there's no kidnapping. There's no stuff like that.
Right.
It happens everywhere. It could have been to us. Even with just entering South Africa, we had to escape. We had to go through this, like, secretive hallway or whatever. Border, and then like if you're caught through those, you could be shot right there outside. Like they see a moving rat, they will shoot you. So we're human, so we'll still die. So many things. So through all those things, I've never really paid attention to those stuff. I'm like, great, lucky me, just escaped death. But definitely from birth, like there was something that was just taking me out of the death. And I definitely see now that what God had plans for me, and God has plans for everybody.
Amen.
If you were born, you had a plan.
Amen.
God had a plan for you. There's no point of God creating a human being without plans. Every person has a plan. God has plans for everybody. You just have to find yourself on that and ask God what the plans are for your lives. But so yeah.
Amen. Wow. I just want to close with the verse that you shared with me on Tuesday. And it's out of Romans chapter 12. And it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And this was something that God was speaking to you lately. And it's been resonating with me ever since you brought it up on Tuesday. And Saran, we do honor you. As your family, as your friends, I'm so grateful for God's provision of your life. I'm so grateful that you're part of this section of the body of Christ. We need you. We didn't know how much we needed Saran in our life, but you make us a more complete picture of who Jesus is. And so I am profoundly thankful that you're a Raider, that you're in the United States, and that you're alive. And I'm so thankful that now not only do we get the blessing of Saran, but now we get the joy of Tamar, and we get to embrace her and love her as part of the family. You make us richer, and you help us to know Jesus better. And so, I just want to give you a hug. Thank you. As Saran said, I don't know what's going on in your life, but everybody's on a different page of the big story, the story of Jesus' reconciliation, the story of God redeeming creation back to himself. And so whatever chapter, whatever page that you're on in the story, the encouragement from tonight is that God is there. And if you're here and you're in the midst of this meeting, you've found yourself connected to a core group or a core group leader, then we are devoted to you. And not only are we just devoted to you, but we are devoted to one another because Jesus is devoted to us. He is the faithful Lord. He is the faithful older brother, the better older brother, the one who never gets jealous, the one that looks out for us and never picks on us, the one that advocates for us before the Father in heaven. Jesus is on your side. Will you guys stand with me? I just want you to receive that truth, that Jesus is on your side. We talked last week about starting the school year off with him in a fresh way. I just want you to embrace the idea that he is fighting for you. That your part of the story is significant to God. It's not a small little dot on the page. It's not the period at the end of the sentence in the middle of the middle chapter, okay? Your story specifically matters to God. And that Jesus Christ is currently fighting for you. The truth is, he first fought for you when he came to earth as a human being. He laid down his divinity so that he could be a human being, so that he could take our place for the punishment that was due for the wrong things that we were doing and we would do and that we would come up with doing. You know, like, I haven't done that wrong thing yet. Check. But he paid the price for it by laying down his life and being murdered on a cross. But the truth is, it's not just the death of Jesus, but it's also the resurrection of Jesus. That once he laid down his life, he also took it back up. And he did it for you. You are significant to God. Why? Because God made you. He was involved in the making of your destiny. He was involved in the bringing together of all of your cells, of how your genes would play out. Your Father in heaven is a good, involved Father. He's involved. He's aware of what's happening in your life. We all have parts of our lives where we feel like nobody is involved, that they're so private that we keep them to ourselves. For me, it's my thought life. There's so many things that pass between these two ears that I think nobody else will ever know. But the Lord knows. And when I feel alone up here, I know that the Lord is with me. And his presence comes. I've learned how to invite that instead of fight it. And I'm asking for that for you tonight. That in the places where you don't feel like anyone is involved or you don't know if God is there, I want you to look back out over your life and know that the Lord is fighting for you, that he is present, that he is involved. Let's pray. Can you pray with me? I love praying corporately. I love praying with people. Jesus, I'm really thankful that you're a personal God that we can turn to and we can cry out to. As a pastor, I make just prayers and intercede for the students here tonight. I fight for them alongside you, Jesus, that the truth of your love, your great compassion, and your everlasting faithfulness would be made real in their lives. Lord, I pray that you would draw them close, that in the places where they feel isolated or alone, Lord, that you would open their eyes up to your involvement and to your desire to be close and to be faithful for them. If you would like to ask Jesus to be faithful in some area of your life, if there is a specific area of your life where it's just coming to mind right now and you're like, hey, I need Jesus here, would you raise your hand in agreement and receive that yes, I'm going to invite him in. Lord, would you be part of this part of my life? men. Lord, I thank you that you are willing to come in and to be close to us. God, I pray for my friends that are saying yes to you. God, would you come in and would you show yourself faithful there? That no longer would isolation or loneliness be in those places, God, but your presence would be there. Oh, and in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And I speak that out, that we are allowed to receive the fullness of your joy. That has been given to us as a gift. So would you bless our friends here tonight? Would you bless our community with an increase of yourself? In the name of Jesus. Amen.